This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
A little bit of history on After Hours. Pretty excited about this. The idea dawned on us on our last show, which of course followed the selection shows in both the men's and women's NCAA tournaments, are now set. 68, an expanded field for the women, matching the men now. And so those tournaments tip off very soon. You kind of think about, too, on the women's side, the schools that might not have made it otherwise. It's neat. Four extra spots in the women's NCAA tournament and more dreams coming true. And one of those teams I know personally pretty well, the Columbia Lions, end up making the tournament for the first time in school history. And they are, in fact, in one of these play-in games that has been added to the women's tournament. So they otherwise would not have made it. They were an at-large bid because they just lost out to Princeton in the Ivy League championship going back to the weekend. And so for them, having to sit and wait for their name to pop up, but to see it and to recognize it for the first time in school history, those dreams are true, and how that just opens up a world of opportunity, not just for the student athletes, but also for potential recruiting. It's such a big deal to make the tournament. Now, I'm not in favor of doubling the number of teams in the tournament. I think that waters it down. It takes away that exclusive quality or that a component that makes it really hard to get into and that produces the angst of missing out. If half the teams in Division I get in, it doesn't feel quite as impactful. And with the way the transfer portal operates, if you don't like where you are and half the teams get in, just pick another one. Now, I do love that you have a more dispersed talent across Division I. That's partly due to the transfer portal, but also due to NIL, because more and more boosters, more and more schools through their boosters are able to offer money, endorsements. It's thinly veiled pay for play, but either way. Right now, it's allowed under the Wild Wild West rules of NIL. And so different schools, more schools, can get in on the talent. Now, here's the challenge, though. And I've been alerted to this by some smaller school coaches. Once you bring in a player, and once he or she has been developed a bit, maybe attracts some attention, well, then you got to watch out, because the bigger schools will come in and try to poach your players away. Also a product of this new environment in college sports. But for now, a lot of buzz around the tournament that tips off Thursday for the men, Friday for the women, after the first fours. All right, so we're not quite yet to that main bracket that'll come this weekend. I know a lot of people have these dates circled on their calendars. We had a chance to talk with a member of the UConn Huskies, defending champ, number one overall seed. If you missed it, Alex Caravan, that conversation is on both Twitter, A-Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page. And we also had Lisa Bluder of Iowa. My mom was thrilled. I sent her the link, and she listened to it the second she got the email. Very excited, especially since I told Coach Bluder that my mom is a big fan. And Lisa responded with, "You tell your mom I'm a big fan of hers." But I think that's really a testament to how Iowa has transcended women's basketball. But the challenge for the women's game, once Caitlin Clark moves on to the WNBA, will there be fans that follow her there? Absolutely. I mean, Lisa even told us about showing up in Columbus, Ohio. And Ohio State fans, they're clad in Ohio State gear, but they're holding Caitlin Clark signs. So you will have fans that follow her to the WNBA and want to watch her play. Similar to some of the UConn players that have gone through Storrs, Connecticut, and are now tearing up the WNBA, like Breonna Stewart. Sabrina Ionescu is another example of a player who's so good and so dynamic that she brought fans with her, a built-in fan base. And those are just two examples. There are certainly others. Kelsey Plum is one of my favorites in the WNBA. So you'll see that bump with Caitlin Clark, presumably getting drafted by the Indiana Fever, a good Midwest team, Indiana basketball hotbed. But where does that leave the college game? Now, there are good young women's players who are making noise already, like freshman Juju Watkins of USC. They end up with a number one seed for the first time in forever, what feels like the Cheryl Miller days when it used to be a powerhouse in women's college hoops. So you do have more players who are coming up as long as fans choose to recognize. But it was interesting to hear what Coach Bluder had to say in response to how do we keep growing the game then? How do we keep this momentum generated by some of the names I just mentioned, but taken to a new level with Caitlin Clark? So if you missed that conversation with Lisa Bluder, again, it's on both Twitter and Facebook. And on Facebook, it's easy. You see the photo with her and Caitlin together. Special relationship that's really been a key part of the story of Caitlin Clark. And it was neat to talk to Lisa, too, about the team makeup behind the scenes. It's not just Caitlin. And I find it fascinating as well, only because I've played on so many women's teams, that there doesn't appear to be any jealousy or envy. There could be. With different teammates, there will be a lot of that. Not just on women's teams, but on men's teams as well. But yeah, you can get into a locker room where teammates are not thrilled that one of their own, someone else, is getting all the attention. And that is the case with Caitlin Clark. And I think now, if you follow Iowa, you recognize it's a group of upperclassmen. There's some other really talented players. And without them, Caitlin wouldn't be as successful. I mean, she can't lead the nation in assists 2 years in a row if her teammates are not doing their parts. And yet they seem happy for her. Not jealous. Not upset that she's getting all the spotlight and they're not. That they're not household names, even though they're working just as hard as she is. I think that's terrific. It takes a special team, either men or women, to be okay with being more anonymous. Not that you aren't relevant, not that you don't matter, but the world doesn't know your name, especially in this age of social media. I mean, imagine what it's like to be a teammate of LeBron James. He sucks all the attention out of a room, all the time. And so with Caitlin and the Iowa Hawkeyes, there's a special makeup there. And because they have that team chemistry, and as Lisa talked about it and explained it, loved hearing from her, it really is great insight into what makes this team tick and why they're more than just Caitlin Clark, why they're a championship contender in women's hoop. It's not just Caitlin Clark. You get to the Final Four, even the Sweet 16, and you're talking about a bunch of teams that they may not have a superstar, the NCAA Division I all-time scoring leader, but they've got really talented players too. And we saw, for instance, Nebraska limit her effectiveness through a full half of the Big Ten championship. Why did we see it? Because it was broadcast live on CBS. So history for the women's tournament with some of the record ratings and nationally televised games and, of course, Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes. But history for us, too, here on After Hours. If you missed it last night, in having Lisa Bluder on the show, first time in all the selections show post-broadcast that I've done, all the selection Sunday nights that I've done, we've never had a female coach before. You're the first female voice on that specific night. Not that we don't cover the women's tournament. Obviously, have had different reporters about Iowa, but about teams in the past like South Carolina and UConn and, gosh, Stanford and Arizona a couple of years ago. But we've never actually had a female coach here on the show on Selection Sunday night. So that was neat, and I got to share that with Lisa. Again, I hope you check out the conversation, because it was really good. But we decided, with all the buzz around the women's tournament, that we would do our first ever women's bracket challenge. CBS Sports has the link for both men's and women's. And so all you have to do is head to our Twitter account, After Hours CBS. Jay, I don't see it anymore. What happened to it? Oh, okay. It was there, and then it was gone. I still don't see it, but I'll check it out on her actual. You didn't include me on it? Is that what happened in the second one?
Oh, gosh, okay. You're right.
No, it's fine.
No, I'll make a new one.
Are you sure? Because I can just retweet it.
I'll
just retweet it. No biggie. Okay, so I found it, and we've got it, and it's the first ever After Hours Women's Tournament Bracket Challenge. Some of you reached out and asked for it. And we have delivered. So now we've got two bracket challenges. And with this one, no one is pre-registered, right? Because we've not had one before. You could use the same email that you use for the men's tournament, but you won't get an automatically generated invite. And so you have to go to either our Twitter, After Hours CBS, or now it's on my Twitter as well. And then on our Facebook page too. And that way, you can start fresh with everybody else. It's our first one. That's really cool. Even as the dust settles from these bracket reveals and selection shows, I think it's less about snubs, less about who didn't make it, more about the teams that are in and the teams that will tip it off on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's cray. And I don't know if it's a representation of things to come. Depends on whether or not there's tournament expansion. It depends upon how the realignment impacts the Big Ten, the SEC. Obviously, the Pac-12, as we know it, is close to being defunct. So a lot will change moving forward. And then you've got some of these other conferences that are maybe caught in the lurch a bit. A lot of question marks about the Big East. Now, the Big East has gone through multiple iterations itself. Remember, it was a power conference. And then a bunch of teams broke off and went to the ACC. And the Big East became more about non-football schools, but it didn't stay that way. It has the more traditional basketball powers, a lot of them. But for instance, UConn was gone and came back. So it's changed a bunch. Certainly, though, basketball is a sport that the Big East believes can be its centerpiece, its crown jewel, if you will. And yet somehow the conference only landed 3 bids in the tournament. A lot of people reacting to that, including Shaka Smart, who's the head coach at Marquette, who did get in. He was interviewed on CBS Sports Network.
There are so many factors now that are weighed in selection that you could take, you know, really one of about 15 teams and say, well, they didn't get in because of this or because of that. I'll tell you this. We just played Villanova and Providence in a conference tournament. And they were, I mean, it was neck and neck. We went to overtime with Villanova. Providence was phenomenal. Those guys are NCAA tournament teams. I think, unfortunately, it was a perfect storm numbers-wise in our league. You had UConn having the best year ever of any Big East team, if you look at it from the numbers. And then you had DePaul probably having the worst year ever. And so that affected those teams in the middle.
I like the point that Shaka Smart makes, is that really is a perfect storm. Not, hey, this is the only... Well, this is a huge slap in the face. It's only happening to the Big East. Nah, he didn't say that. He kind of looked at the circumstances. And remember, there were bid thieves too, right? So you had 5 teams that would not have made the tournament field, the field of 68, if not for the fact that they were able to run the table and grab their conference championship title, including NC State. And so then it left some of these other teams, bubble teams, on the outside looking in. But yeah, there's a bunch of teams that are wondering why. And we did talk about St. John's having 20 wins, Seton Hall having 20 wins. They were streaky. Now, St. John's ended the season on a high note, even beat Creighton and beat Seton Hall, but then lost to UConn. Seton Hall was 13-7 in the Big East and did have wins against UConn and Marquette. Providence on the bubble didn't get in, but finished with 21 wins. And part of the deal is the Big East got penalized for the way they all beat each other up. So all the different metrics and analytics, we know that Providence coach Kim English torched the analytics with his own special term for them. And it is frustrating because these teams likely would have been in if not for 5 teams that ended up winning their conference tournament, right? So 5 teams that made life complicated and kicked other teams off the bubble. But that's the deal. I mean, I actually think that's why this is special, and that's why this format should not change. Let's not make it easier for teams to get in. I don't think that improves the quality of the tournament, and I think it does water down then your conference play, or as the committee has talked about, wanting teams to not go cream puff cupcake in non-conference. I mean, isn't that what happened in college football? A premium has been placed on scheduling teams in the non-conference that will challenge you. And having kind of points, if you will, taken away, you get brownie points for scheduling tough non-conference opponents, even sometimes when you lose. But your resume is diminished in the eyes of the committee if you don't schedule anyone that's a challenge in the non-conference. So I'm okay with it. I know it was a tough year for the Big East. There are a lot of good schools that could have been in, but that's the nature of the beast, especially with conference tournaments. That's why we say March Madness actually begins before the selection show. And for heaven's sakes, the Big 12 got 8 teams which is they don't actually have 12. And Oklahoma is one of the ones that was left out. That's nearly the entire conference. SEC, same thing. So it's cyclical. Some of the teams had much better years. Others did not. The Mountain West got their most teams ever into the tournament, though they were seeded lower than what the conference thought and what our friend Jerry Palm thought. There are ebbs and flows to it. I just don't want it to be expanded enough that it doesn't matter anymore or it's easy to get in. And that's also my fear about college football. We haven't even seen a dozen teams in the playoff yet. They're already working on 14. It's a total money grab. How can you have automatic bids in college football in a field of 14? You give conference champions auto bids. How does that maintain the integrity of a 14-team field that is supposed to be the best in the game? If you're handing out automatic bids to teams just because they won their conferences, how do we know they're the best ones in the NCAA? How do we know those are the best and most deserving teams if they automatically get in? And in the case of some of the power conferences, they don't just want one automatic bid. They want two or three automatic bids. As much as it's supposed to be, and this is college football, supposed to be about the most deserving, when it comes to a 14-team playoff, it certainly is more about the money. And it would be that way in college hoops if that expanded to double the number of teams. I've actually heard some coaches tout a 128-team bracket. 128 teams in the field? That's ridiculous. Bracket challenges would cease to exist. No one can keep up with 128 teams. I don't think people have the time to fill out a bracket with 128 teams. So I am no, vote no when it comes to expansion. All right, on Twitter, After Hours CBS, your chance to sign up for the first ever After Hours Women's Bracket Challenge. And you can also sign up for the Men's Bracket Challenge. Use the same email. It's the CBSSports.com website. We're glad to have you with us. Let's see. Coming up, what do I want to do? Oh, new receiver for Patrick Mahomes. This is fun. And quietly over the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
One of the best players in the NFL retired. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Less than a yard to gain on fourth down with 43 seconds remaining. Rams creepy. They rush for it. Throw to throw for it. He's hit. He's sacked. He throws it away. He flings it away on fourth down.
Aaron Donald got there. Donald takes his helmet off in celebration. He flips Burrow to the turf and forces the incompletion on fourth and one. He signals to his ring finger on his left hand. And you can build that man's statue out SoFi Stadium right now. The greatest of all time on defense does it in the biggest moment of Super Bowl 56.
One last play to be world champs. Give it everything you got. I found the way to get to him. We made a play and we won. That's all that matters.
Give it up for Aaron Donald. What a stud. Everything.
We built a super team. We can bring a super team back. Why not run it back? We could be world champions.
Yeah!
You got to know where he's at all times and try to get as many people blocking him as you can, you know, for as long as you can, which is a tall order. He's one of probably the greatest to ever play.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of my favorite songs from the Karate Kid soundtrack. I love that song ever since I was a kid. As much as I dig Star Wars and would totally identify myself as a Star Wars super nerd, Karate Kid may be my all-time favorite movie. I might have seen it 30 times. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Appropriate given that Aaron Donald has decided to retire a bit quietly over the weekend. Three-time Defensive Player of the Year, and as you hear, Super Bowl champion with the Rams going back a couple seasons ago. And I guess it wasn't a big shock to the Rams themselves. Even though Sean Payton had signed a long-term deal, and Donald had kind of indicated that his career was tied to Payton's, meaning if Payton had chosen himself to walk away... Did I say Payton? Sorry, McVay. Oh, gosh. Well, Sean Payton, different coach. My fault. Sean McVay had chosen to walk away after their Super Bowl win or after a really tough follow-up season in 22 that Donald might have retired as well. Well, then they had this resurgent year. Matthew Stafford with a bunch of younger guys around him. Yes, Cooper Kupp, when he finally got healthy, but Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, and they made the playoffs again as a wild card out of the NFC West. But it's on that note that Donald decides to walk away anyway. And as I say, the Rams may have known this was coming. This is according to Albert Breer of MMQB. Aaron Donald knew his career was complete on the night of January 14th. Rams coach McVay got the message loud and clear when Donald was in his office the day after the season ended and he said, I'm full. Code. So McVay told Albert Breer, you're just so happy because he earned it too. The coach said he had a feeling all year this might happen. And this is why. This is what McVay told Breer. Donald would take an extra moment during a game or a few minutes with a young player after practice or even take time to laugh with a buddy. He went a little extra with Christmas gifts this year. And according to McVay, as he tells it to Albert Breer, he could see that that's where Donald was headed for all of those reasons. Leaving behind a little something extra for those he played with. Don't know why Donald waited until last weekend to announce it on social media. But you kind of wonder if the Rams knew, did that direct to any of their free agent moves? But they actually didn't get in on, say, Christian Wilkins. They didn't go after a premier rusher off the edge. Obviously leaves a huge void. And it just won't be the same without him. He's so good. So I'm glad that he had the Super Bowl ring. That's awesome. I'm glad we got to see him in the playoffs one more time. That he was able to stay healthy, because he wasn't healthy in 22. He was one of the myriad of Rams that ended up getting hurt. But yeah, I don't know that there's a replacement for him, but it certainly won't be this offseason unless the Rams have got something crazy up their sleeves. Speaking of defensive linemen, Chase Young ends up with the New Orleans Saints. And according to Boot Crew Media, he can't wait to play alongside Cam Jordan.
That's definitely something big for me that I'm excited to do. Future Hall of Famer, a guy who I'm going to spend time with, who I can just, absorb the game from. I'm definitely excited about Big Cam.
They were really psyched to get him when he joined them via trade from the Commanders. But he fell off the map late in the season, Chase Young did, with the Niners. Even though they obviously had an incredible defense, but their defense as a whole didn't perform nearly as well over the end of the regular season and into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That was obvious. The defense got taken to task publicly by both Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilks, and then Wilks, of course, ends up getting fired when the season is done. But it was a glaring drop-off with Chase Young, because they were so thrilled to have him when he first got there, he and Nick Bosa having gone to school together at Ohio State, and they were really excited because they felt like he fit so well. But the last couple games, it was crickets around him. There really wasn't a lot that he offered more than just a big body.
No, he really was. I mean, the production wasn't there. I think it was 2 sacks in the time that he got there from the 49ers for the rest of the season. Their defense in the playoffs was really getting gashed in the run game more than it was in anything else. And they just didn't stand up. And he didn't make a giant impact. If I can remember in the playoffs, I think he had the 1 sack. They were hoping for.
Yeah.
And honestly, he hasn't been what everybody hoped for in his career thus far. I mean, he had a good rookie season, but it wasn't dominant. It was good. Then the ACL over 2 years, it's taken him a while to get back. He looked like he was starting to round into form with Washington. You get the trade, you figure he takes off with all the other players around him. You can't double him as much as maybe you would have in Washington, and it just didn't fit. So this is a good chance for him to kind of reset and get his market back if he can put up good numbers and put up a good year with the Saints and try to get back to the player that everybody kind of assumed he was going to be the second overall pick.
Well, and the Commanders didn't want to pay him because they were getting ready to rebuild. They were cleaning house, but maybe they saw something too, recognizing that he wasn't worth the money that he would want. So he ends up with a 1-year deal. Now it's fully guaranteed. It's $13 million with the Saints. And he says he's going to let his play do the talking. That's what he told reporters on Monday. That he was going to go ahead and be comfortable in a 1-year deal and allow his play to then earn him another contract after that. So it's kind of one of those prove it deals that we hear about in professional sports. So good. If he, I'm going to use another quotation, air quotations, bets on himself.
Yeah.
And he comes out with a huge season, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 sacks, something along those lines, and is, looking energetic and spry and can get off the line quickly, well, then maybe he gets himself another deal that's more than just a year.
And that's what he's looking for. And that's, look, 7.5 sacks is his career best, and it was last year and his rookie year. That's not the second overall pick in the draft. That's not what Washington was looking for. That's not what Chase Young, I'm sure, is. He was supposed to come in and dominate. And when you dominate when you're at the top of the draft, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's at least double digits in sacks, and not just the sack numbers, but also the pressures. Like, you affect the game on every play. He hasn't done that thus far in his career. Now, again, I know the ACL injury, and it took a good chunk of 2 years, but even when he's been on the field, and I know he's taken a little time to come back from that, even before that, though, he hasn't shown to be that game wrecker. And that's what you need him to be. If he can do that in New Orleans on a 1-year deal, there's a lot of people that still feel like it's there. It's untapped potential from what they saw coming out of the draft, and maybe he can finally cash in, but he's got to do his part, and he's actually got to become a game wrecker on the field.
And I'm not sure there are so many people who look at this deal and think, okay, that's going to change the balance of power even a little bit in the NFC South, but lower expectations. Can he exceed those? And as Marco says, turn it into something beyond that with the Saints. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out. But at this point, it's getting to the, I don't want to say the bottom of the barrel because that's not really fair, but it's getting to the point where you don't have nearly as many free agents available and yet still Justin Simmons, which kind of blows me away. So I wonder what he's asking for after being released from the Broncos. So we're waiting on that piece. We've seen even now Josh Dobbs sign a new deal. So we have to talk about the different chess moves on the quarterback chessboard. And also Hollywood Brown, he's taking his act, his one-man band.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To Kansas City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Third and goal on the Dallas 2. Snap to Dobbs. Play action pass. Backing up. Throws right side into the end zone. And it's caught by Hollywood Brown for a touchdown. Dobbs backpedaling, sprinting backwards. Still had enough mustard on that ball to find Marquise Brown for a huge score.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Josh Dobbs rides again. Ah, this story is so great. To the point where you had photos and reminders of Josh Dobbs in astronaut gear because he's actually aeronautics engineer. I think that's what he studied, aeronautics. Incredible how smart he is and how much fun he is, and the fact that he also plays quarterback at a high enough level that he's been given chances to start in the NFL and now has another home for 2024. Josh Dobbs to Hollywood Brown. Ah, exactly what we need to start this portion of After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. His agent posted on Monday evening on Twitter, he's agreed to a one-year deal with the Niners. So this is more of that musical chairs, or even more of a slide puzzle, I guess. I'm big on slide puzzles. If you watched our latest YouTube video, you know what I'm talking about. Dobbs is replacing Sam Darnold as the Niners' backup to Brock Purdy. I maintain the Niners' entire goal, if they can get through every season with one QB and Joey Bosa remaining healthy, Nick Bosa remaining healthy, they're in great shape. Those are two pieces that puts them head and shoulders above the rest of the NFC West. So Brock Purdy, undisputed starter, no questions about him versus Trey Lance anymore. Jimmy Garoppolo, nope. Darnold is on to Minnesota, which is where Dobbs was last year after he was traded there from Arizona. And he will be part of the Niners system, which to me spells development. He's going to be a better quarterback for being in Kyle Shanahan's system. Now, is he ever going to be an upper echelon starter? I don't think so. But he could get out there on the field again. As a backup, he's got to be ready. And love his athleticism. We've seen that on display in terms of being able to run for touchdowns or just elude pressure. The excitement and obviously the football IQ he brings to the table. It was such a great story last year, right? Because he had to start for the Cardinals in place of Kyler Murray. But he didn't even get there until late in training camp. Even in the preseason, they might have broken camp by then. He was traded from Cleveland to Arizona. Just keeping the seat warm for Kyler while Kyler finishes the rehab from the ACL. He started their first eight games, completed nearly 63% of his passes, over 1,500 yards, 8 touchdowns, but also has a turnover problem. Happens to a lot of quarterbacks. And the Cardinals only won one of the games that he started, not all on him, but they don't have the margin for error with the turnovers. That's the issue. So not all on him. He gets benched. The Vikings trade for him. He's supposed to be their emergency QB once Kirk Cousins gets hurt. But then Nick Mullins goes down with a back injury. And such a great story. I loved watching it. He's on the roster for, I don't know, 2 days. No practice. They're playing in Atlanta. And he leads them to a wild come from behind victory over the Falcons. And then a win over the Saints. Oh, so Josh Dobbs has the number of the NFC South. Anyway, aerospace engineer, NFL QB. And I'm telling you, in San Francisco, hell of a place where he can learn, develop solid fundamentals, take care of the football. He won't get a lot of snaps or reps with the first team, obviously, once they get serious. But we had 66 different starting quarterbacks in the NFL last season, which means you got to be ready. And I like the fact that Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch are investing in him. They wouldn't bring in a guy to back up Brock Purdy if they didn't think that he could toe the line. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We've got more player movement that we'll get to after the top of the hour, plus a monster moment for Anthony Edwards again. But Marty is in Texas. Marty, welcome to After Hours. You got about 2 minutes.
Oh, I just wondered if you know the rationale behind having those extra four teams not play the 16 seed. I don't think it's fair that the 10 seed has to play an extra game.
Well, actually, if you're talking about Dayton, which I think you are, the play-in tournament, actually
those four teams, they should all play 16 seeds.
Well, that's not how it works out. They put the last four in a lot of times are in these play-in games, or some of the last four in are in these play-in games. And so even if they're the last four in, it doesn't necessarily mean they're the worst. So some of the 16 seeds, the 15 seeds, those are going to automatic bid, one bid leagues, the smaller conferences, mid majors, where the teams are not nearly as good as some of the others that are last four in based on at large bids. I'm sorry, I know it's convoluted, but the 16s, the 14, 15, 16s are often reserved for, well, not reserved for, but they're often filled up by the smaller conferences who just get their one champion into the field.
Okay, I just wondered why they didn't play them. Now, why a 10 seed has to play an extra game or 12, anything, you know. Well, I don't understand.
Because those are teams that just barely made it into the field. And they're seeded and slotted based on their resumes, of course. But you don't want, I mean, I understand this. You wouldn't want a 16 seed who is, and sometimes it happens that you've got two 16s that match up against each other, but you want to make sure that the smaller conferences, a lot of times that they're matched up against a team that's commensurate, because you don't want them against a Power 5 team in that Dayton slot where, you know, they don't have as big a good a chance to get it into the main bracket. So I understand it. Yeah, I mean, I understand it. Again, it has to do with where the teams come from and their resumes and the small schools versus the power conferences. And I think the teams that are last four in, especially if they come from power conferences, they should have to play an extra game. But also, thank you, Marty, for your phone call. Also, you'll get this from a lot of coaches that go through Dayton. They'll tell you, especially if it's a new team that hasn't had a ton of tournament experience, they prefer to be there because that way they get a game under their belts before they get onto the big stage. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.